I think there must be a way to automatically admit people, but we have a number of people with us now, and we welcome you all to our Zoom room fellowship this morning. And it's good to be with you, and appreciate Carol. Thank you for playing. We enjoyed that music, and we will keep doing this for next Sunday. Now we're planning on doing Sunday school Zoom room with Evan here, and we're going to then do the morning service, and then on the evening. This evening will be at 5 o'clock. We'll be back in our Zoom room. It's always the same number, so once you get into the Zoom room, just watch that number, and whenever we're on, you can get into the Zoom room. And so that's the way that it works, I guess, I hope. And I hope you can all hear me okay, and that we thank you for joining us and being with us today. And you can come. Now, we're also going to be open. We'll get letters out to everyone this week. Evan and I are going to work on this afternoon, and if you want to join us here, feel free to join us. We have a couple people. There's four of us here, and we're about 30 feet apart, so we're pretty good distance apart. And so please feel free to join us. We just want to take very, very cautious because of the increase of the virus again, the number of cases expanding, and more of our people either here locally or they have relatives all around, but we're starting to get a lot of family members of our regular attenders that have the virus. And so we just want to be very cautious, but we want to keep in contact with you. And so we're going to try to do that. A couple of weeks ago, we spoke about Abraham. We looked at Abraham. Last week we looked at, Derek was with us last week. The week before that we looked at Moses. And now we're going to spend a few weeks looking at David. In the Old Testament, there are a number of very interesting people and a lot of information, but probably the three men in the Old Testament that stand out above all the rest are Abraham, the father of the faithful, the beginning of the nation of Israel, Abraham, and his son Isaac. And then we had, of course, Moses that came along and was the leader of the people out of Egypt. Probably the nation by then, they went down a few families. The patriarchs of the nation of Israel went down into Egypt. They became slaves. They multiplied greatly, and they became a great nation of over 1 million people. And then Moses was called of God to lead them out of slavery. And of course, it was Moses that gave them the law. It was Moses that gave them the tabernacle. It was under the leadership of Moses that the nation developed. And then we have, of course, under King David. And this morning, I particularly want to emphasize, I want to look at David, his beginnings, where he starts in the Bible, and a little of his character. And we read today, Evan read, and we started out in Psalm 89, a great psalm that speaks of God's faithfulness, and that truly is the characteristic we have of David. In the Word of God, we have in Acts, we have an interesting statement about David I want to look at. In Acts chapter 13 in the New Testament, I want to just read this in Acts chapter 13 and verse 22. We have a kind of the key verse of our study of David. And so we have here in the Word of God, we have in the 13th chapter of the book of Acts, verse 22, says this: "And when he had removed him, he raised up," that is Saul. We're going to look at that a little bit, a fact that Saul had to be removed. Now, Saul was the first king of Israel. In a moment, we'll just speak a little more of that. But we have here in verse 22, "And when he had removed him," that is when he had removed Saul, "he raised up onto them," that is the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave this testimony. And here's what God said about David and why God chose David to be king. He said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. What a testimony. What a statement for God to make, that in David, God found a man that had a heart for God. A man that sought God. A man that wanted to do what God wanted. Now in David, we have a very interesting person. We first find David, that when we first encounter him in the Word of God, is back here in 1 Samuel. Back in the Old Testament, we have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Judges, and we move along there, and we have Joshua, Judges, and then we have 1 Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel. And I want us to just look where we first find David here mentioned is in 1 Samuel. I'm still in 2 Samuel, so I said 1 Samuel chapter 1 Samuel chapter, he makes him king. Saul becomes king in the 11th chapter. Let's talk a little of that when we move into David. Now, God's plan for the nation of Israel became a mighty nation. We have a very large number of people, and God was to be their king. That is, God was the lawgiver. He gave them the law for his rule, and they were to look to him directly for their government, and God was to be their king. But the people, they wanted to be like everyone else. All the other nations had kings. They had rulers, and they wanted to be like everybody else. That's kind of a tendency, isn't it? People want to be like other people. And if other nations have kings, they want to have kings. And so God had given them a priest, Samuel, a very interesting young man that had been serving God since he was just a boy. He was brought there to serve God as a boy in the tabernacle. And he was God's spokesman. God told Samuel what the message was for the people. Then Samuel told the people the message, and he was their spiritual leader, but also their national leader. But God was their king, and Samuel was the representative of God to the people. But the people wanted a king they could see, a king they could talk to, a king that could talk to them. And so they asked Samuel to ask God to give them a king. And God warned him about this, that it wasn't a very good suggestion, that it wasn't a good request, that a king would have tax them, a king would take advantage of them, they would become a servant and actually almost slaves to the king, and the king wouldn't always look for their best. But they wanted a king. Give us a king. Give us a king. And finally, God gave them a king in Saul. And it came about exactly what God had told them, that he became arrogant, he became wealthy, he became a dictator king, and a disobedient to God, and did not follow the instructions that God gave. He placed himself above God. And to the place where God had to reject Saul as king. And that's where we first encounter David. Now Saul has been rejected as the king, and his family has been removed from the throne because of his disobedience to God, because of his arrogance, and a new king has to be established. And so we move along in 1 Samuel, we're going to see that as we look into I believe as we come here, 1 Samuel chapter 16, and we find the first place we're going to find David mentioned in the Bible, and at this time in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, Daniel is a young man. Is a young man, and he's got many brothers. He's got 7 brothers, and he's the youngest, and his job is to take care of the sheep. And now God tells Samuel that he's to go up to Bethlehem, to the house of Jesse, and there he is to anoint the new king. Now this was a dangerous job for Samuel, and he wasn't too excited to do this, because if King Saul found out that he was up there making a new king, he feared for his life, that his life was in danger, and that he could be put to death by the king because of doing this. But God said, take oil and go up to Bethlehem and go to the house of Jesse, because Jesse has a son that's going to be the king. And so he goes there. And we know we'll pick up our reading in 1 Samuel chapter 16. And Samuel is up now there at the house of Jesse. And he calls Jesse to the sacrifice. He went up there to offer a sacrifice, Samuel. And he called Jesse to the sacrifice and said, I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name to thee. God says, okay, Samuel, out of the family of Jesse, the boys, you're going to anoint one of them to be the next king after Saul, who I've rejected. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and he came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and he called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, he looked at Eli, that's the oldest son, and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. Boy, this was an easy job. I come up here to anoint a king. I call for the family of Jesse. And here comes in the elder son, Eliab. And man, he looked like a king. He was tall. He was muscular. He was just a very sturdy, wise-looking man. That was surely this is the king. Notice verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, and here, dear friends, is one of those verses that we need to underline in our Bible. This is one of those things we need to think about often. It's 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look now not on his countenance, or on his height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Now, this would be worth our meditation for a number of days and hours and thinking. And this is such an important verse for each and every one of us. Is that we have the tendency, don't we? Every one of us. It's a human tendency. We look at appearances. We look at the outside. I see a red shiny car, and boy, that's a car for me. I just recently got a 1998 Ford pickup, Chevrolet pickup, and it's red. And it has some dents and everything, but I see that red pickup, and that's it. It was a done deal. If it would have been green or blue or yellow or any other color but red, it probably would have stayed there. But I look on the outwards, and if it's red, it's got to be good. And we're a tendency, we do that with things. We look at the outward appearance. I have this neighbor has a dog, and it's a big dog. It looks to me like a wolf. It's big. and it's black, and it looks angry, but it's a gentlest, nicest dog. And it comes up, and you go over to the fence, it jumps up there, and it stands above. It must be, when it gets on its back legs, it must be 6 feet tall. Probably not quite that much, but it's big. And it looks vicious. And if I was a thief, I wouldn't go anywhere near to that house, because outwardly, he looks like a wolf, like a mean animal, but he's not. He's very gentle, and he wouldn't hurt anybody. But we have this tendency to look on the outward appearance of things. And we look at people that they're pretty, or they're handsome, or they this or that. And often we miss the real beauty of a person because we just look on the outside and we don't look on the inside. It's so important, dear friends, that we realize what God is concerned is not how we look on the outside. God isn't really concerned what our church looks like on the outside. God isn't really concerned what we look like on the outside. God wants to know what's going on in the heart. And when God was going to pick a king to be his king, what God was concerned about was not the outward appearance, not how tall he was, not how handsome he was, but God was concerned if he had a heart for God. And you know, dear friends, that's what God's looking for today. He really is. God's looking for people today. He's not looking at how, what kind of hair they have. He's not looking at if their outward appearance. But God is looking inside their heart, and he's looking for people that have a heart for God. We read there in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, that when God was looking for a new king, he wasn't looking for the most handsome man in the kingdom. He wasn't looking for the biggest man. He wasn't looking for the most powerful man in the kingdom. He was looking for a man that had a heart after God. And so we pick up our reading here, and we see this once again. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. God looks at the heart. God looks at what's going on inside the heart is where God looks. Let's read that again. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on his height, on his height of his stature, because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. It's a heart problem. The situation that we have in the world today is a heart problem. It's not an appearance problem. It's not a beauty problem. It's a heart problem. God looks at the heart. Verse 8, then Jesse called Abinadab, and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this. Verse 9, then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen him. And again Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. My, oh my. God told him, go up to Bethlehem, go to the house of Jesse, look at his sons, and anoint one of them to be king. The sons all come before him. None of them pass the test. None of them, God doesn't say, he is the one. Well, what happens now? Samuel's mission been a failure? What situation is going on here? And Samuel said to Jesse, are here all thy children? Are this all your kids? And he said, oh, well, no, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. Didn't call him. When the meeting was going to go on and they're going to have the sacrifice, Jesse didn't call David in. He's taking care of the sheep. He was the baby of the family. And certainly there was no need to him to be there. They had all of the older sons. Everyone that needed to be there was there. The baby of the family wasn't needed to be there. But now all the sons have passed before Samuel. None of them made the grade. None of them were chosen to be king. So go out to the field and get David to come in. The youngest son, that was David. And so now they got to wait here. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he cometh hither. And he sent and brought him. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance, and godly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. He certainly didn't look like a king. He looked like a boy. He had a reddish complexion. He was young. And he certainly didn't have the appearance of a king. But he was the one God had chosen. Why? Because God does not look on the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. God is more concerned with the heart. Your heart and my heart are our heart, dear friends. What's going on in our heart than how we look on the outside, how we're dressed, how we appear. God's concerned about what's going on in our heart. And so we run across David. We find him for the first place mentioned in the Word of God. And we see that he was chosen by God to be king because of his heart. Now we're going to spend several weeks talking about David. And some of the things we're going to learn about David. First of all, he was a musician. He played beautiful music. We're going to see that. We're going to see that he was a writer of music and psalms. Most of the psalms are a good majority of the psalms that encourage us and build us up and have been used by the church now and by God's people for thousands of years, the psalms, where we go when we're tired, or we go when we're discouraged, when we go in days of problems, when we go in the shadow of death. When we go in the last days of our life, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. We go to Psalm 23. What an encouragement the Psalms are. David was the writer of the Psalms. David was a musician. David was a warrior, which we're going to see, in fact, in the very next chapter. And we're going to talk about that more next week, David the warrior. David was a man, when he took care of the sheep, he took care of the sheep. And when a bear came and tried to get a sheep, he took the sheep out of the mouth of the bear. When a lion came, he drove the lion off. Yes, sir, they weren't getting any of his sheep. He was a protector of the sheep. And he was a defender of the name of God when the great enemy, that in the next chapter we're going to see Goliath, when he came down and he mocked at God and he mocked at God's people, it was David, this young boy, that stood up and said, how do you let this man mock God and laugh at God and criticize God? That's for next week too. We need to look at that. We need some Davids fighting the Goliath day. We have the mockers. Today it appears that it is a very common, the theme of the day is to criticize God, to mock God. Oh, we need more scientists, and we need more medicine, and we need more this and that, and we don't have to worry about prayer and God. And so they laugh today, men of prayer, women of prayer, people of prayer, churches of prayer are laughed at and mocked. So we're going to look at that. But David was a man of prayer. We're going to see that too. And many of the Psalms actually are prayers of David. And we're going to see that about this. Also, we're going to see in David, we see here he had a heart after God. He was a musician. He was the writer of Psalms. He was a man of prayer. He was a man of action. He was a man zealous for God. And also, David was a great sinner. My, oh my, we have in the man David what is true of every human being. The potential for fellowship and communion and service for God, and the potential for sin and wickedness and destruction. We see ourselves in this man David. We see around about us humanity in this man David. We see the fact that the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. David had a heart that sought after the things of God. David had a heart that wanted to defend and serve God. And also, David had a heart that was given to sin and to destruction and to destroying of other people, other lives, and his own life. We have a lot to learn from David. But let me challenge you with this as we close this morning, and thank you for being with us. We'll be back this evening. The same number works, the number you have for this Zoom room works at 5 o'clock this evening. We'll start opening the room at 4:45, and you can check in to our class. Rich will be here this evening teaching the spiritual warfare class at 5 this evening. But as we close this morning, let us remember that God is concerned about our hearts. He sees our hearts. He knows that we have the potential for sin, for disobedience, for wickedness. But he also knows we have the potential to love God, to serve God, to live for him. And let me encourage you with the words from the book of Matthew that go this way. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things we have in need, the material things we need, the food we need, the provision we need, the fellowship we need, all things that we need as we seek God, we will have at our disposal. And let me, friends, remind you that God is seeking you. God wants you to love him. God wants you to obey him. God wants you to follow him. And God has provided that that is possible in the Lord Jesus Christ. God provided the way that we can be delivered from our sinful nature, from our wickedness, from our rebellion against him. God has provided a way that we can be his sons and daughters. We can be his children by the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That wicked, sinful man who had given his life, it would appear probably to blasphemy and for the laughing at God and mocking God, the Philippian jailer. We don't know a lot about him. But we do know that one night he cried and he wanted to know, what must I do to know God? What must I do to be right with God? What must I do to be saved? And Paul gave the answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Dear friends, no matter what we have done, no matter what you've done, no matter what sin you've committed, no matter how you've lived your life, let me assure you, based upon the Word of God, that whosoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, He was buried, and He arose again the third day. Whoever believes that becomes a child of God, has eternal life, and can live their lives to seek Him and have a heart after God. David, we're going to talk more about him in the next couple of weeks, but what we remember this morning is that David had a heart after God, and God worked in the heart of David, not because of outward things, not his outward appearance, but he worked on the heart. Let us pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for your goodness to us. We thank you for being able to meet this morning, even though our numbers here in the sanctuary are very small, and the participants with us out there on the Zoom room. But we thank you for each and every one. We pray that you'll guide and direct us during this coming week. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you will guide and direct the Christ Fellowship Baptist Church to help us to know how in these days of the coronavirus, in these days of the pandemic and all of the guidelines, and help us to know and be obedient how we can follow the laws of the state and be obedient to our government, but at the same time, Heavenly Father, and most important, how we can be obedient and serve you. We pray that you'd help us and guide us now. We thank you for each and every one that have joined with us this morning. And we thank you in the wonderful and the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Once again, thank you for joining us this morning. We'll be back this evening at 5 o'clock. Next Sunday, we'll be here for Sunday school at 9:30. Don't forget, 9:30. You can join us sometime after 9 o'clock. We'll be taking a meeting. Join us for Sunday school. And